Hey y'all, welcome back to another episode of Big Facts No Cap, the only podcast that's number one with Hispanic at the disco and people who make their black beans with Crisco.
Big facts.
No.
Cap.
Big
facts.
No.
Cap.
No cap.
Big facts.
No.
Cap.
Big
facts.
No.
Cap.
No cap.
Big
facts.
No.
Cap.
Big
facts.
No.
Cap.
No cap.
Hello, pretty head. PH, that's what we always call you.
That's what we always called you. PH, not PP for Pinche Paul. Only very hurtful, mean people would call me that.
Is that the relationship you're establishing with your brother-in-law? Kind of like an antagonistic thing?
Brother-in-law? Do you think me and Izzy are married?
Are you guys not common law married yet?
I mean, we did move into that homestead on the prairie. Out Kansas way.
You know what I meant. You know I don't believe in the distinctions between marriage and non-marriage.
So you think you're married to everybody? What does that mean? To everything, too? Every inanimate object, you're married to it?
Oh, wait, you're doing a, the left is so crazy that if the gay people can get married, what's next, you're gonna fuck a turtle?
No, that's clearly not what I'm doing. You said you don't believe in the distinction
like
between
doing.
Two things, being married and not married, so clearly everything must be.
Yeah, I took shrooms once, and I believe that. It's all just Buddha nature, baby.
I took shrooms once, one of the coolest phrases in the English language.
Hell yeah.
Right up there with Pinche Paul. But that's like one of the coolest phrases in the Spanish language. Let's get back to that.
All right. What do you want to say your piece on it?
Oh, I really have nothing to say about it. Just that it's hurtful to come up with hurtful nicknames for people.
That's why I've never done it. I only address people the way that they want to be addressed.
No cap.
Okay, I see what you're doing. We're talking about Hasan Minhaj.
Hasan Minhaj.
Do you think now that he's been taken down, you're the most notable POC entertainer from Davis?
I don't think Davis claims me. I think Columbia still claims me harder than Davis does.
You're not one of Davis's own?
I don't think I'm one of Davis's own. I don't think I can claim that. I mean, I've been here a while, but I haven't really made a stir in the art community. I'm more of like known as like a man about town in like a driftery way, not in like a young troubadour.
You're known as a little stinker about town, Adrian. We've made this clear.
No. If you Google Lil Stinker Davis, you will not find an article about me. That I can guarantee you.
Yeah, because you had him scrubbed.
Yeah, we couldn't get the pepper spray accident scrubbed, but we could get the Lil Stinker articles about me scrubbed. I was willing to pay a lot more money.
The university tried to get those scrubbed. They like hired a law firm or something. Or the police department?
Yeah, pretty famously. Yeah.
That's fun.
I think it was more the university than the police department. I think the police department was like, hey, it's a Tuesday. You know, what are you going to do? I guess it was probably campus police. That's probably what
the police department was like, we said say when. They never said it. We thought they wanted us to keep going.
I had flashbacks when I was at Olive Garden. I was like, tell me when there's enough pepper.
It's one of those things. What they cropped out of the photo, what you don't see is the other officer with a Parmesan cheese grater.
And they're in a big salad bowl.
Is that like one of those things where the camera keeps zooming out and you realize the planet Earth is just an atom? Like if you keep zooming out of that protest, you realize they're all just an Olive Garden table setting?
Potentially, yeah. But what's been going on with you? What have you been doing?
I don't know. I've had a tummy ache for the last week and a half, so nothing exciting.
For a week and a half? That's crazy.
I know. Too long.
You gotta go pay your doctor a little visit.
Nah, I don't believe in visiting doctors.
Is it a cultural thing or like a man thing or?
Neither really. I just feel like doctors have never in the past given me anything good. They're always just like, you know, body's crazy. But every time I see a doctor, I feel like they're like, we could send you to a specialist if you want. I don't know if it's quite there yet. And then I don't really know what to say to that. So I'm like, okay.
I usually say, yeah, brother, I'll go through the trouble. I got good insurance right now.
It still ends up costing me so much, but maybe I should just get over it and put my health first.
The ENT did cost a while, or did cost a good bit. Well, that sucks to hear, buddy. Did you do some traditional medicine? Did you do the Aisha Khan route? Did you do community healing?
No, I was thinking of picking up some rose water, but I keep forgetting to when I go to the grocery store. What does Aisha Khan says? You've mentioned it so many times, but I don't really know.
Oh, no. I mean, just traditional medicine is one of her things.
Okay. I mean, yeah, I like rose water when my stomach hurts. I believe in my mama's advice.
I like a little bit of ginger ale with some saltines.
Okay, so you do the indigenous medicine of the white people. Of the white man.
Yeah. I think they had more sophisticated tools to work with, and so they ended up coming up with better folk solutions. But not because of, like, the white race, but because of, like, the latitude with which the civilizations lied along the earth.
It had to do with how much snow they got.
Yeah. What's the... Oh, God. That's, like, chapter two of Gun, Germs, and Steel. I can't remember what the other parts of the argument are that Jared Diamond does.
Famously a book that nobody's ever taken issue with. Every other researcher in that field went, yeah, fair enough. That's all true. We agree.
He's a diamond in the rough.
That's what all the reviews of that book said from other, what would it be, sociologists?
Cutting edge, like a diamond-crusted saw.
Don't think Subway, Jared. This one's much better.
Was that at the same time? Was that topical at that moment? It might have been, like, perfectly...
I think those are way out of sync. I think the Subway Jared stuff came out, like, a decade after.
Speaking of killer books, I had enough time today, and hopefully I'll get to it later today after the pod. Got two pages into my book club book, so really spicing up.
What's the book?
Rules to Win By, the new Jane McAlevey book. Mm. You know we're all big McAlevey heads around here. Famously, No Shortcuts, a book that no one has any issues with. All right, we gotta stop just doing that in a cycle.
I'm trying to think. What else is up?
It was an uneventful weekend.
Same.
I don't want to ever become one of those guys who cares and complains about what people choose to wear and not wear. But we're having like our first like all every day is below 90 degrees week in Davis. And people are going brazy with it. Like, I saw a dude in a leather jacket today, and I was like, buddy, it's still 86 degrees. Like, I don't know. Like, I don't know if you need to, like, be that eager to bust out your winter collection.
I mean, there's people who will wear beanies in, like, over 100 weather, because they're just beanie guys no matter what the weather is.
Yeah, that happened once when Dora Lee was going through her beanie phase. We went to shop at Trader Joe's together, and one of our managers was like, has anyone told Dora Lee that it's not that cold right now?
There is something funny about people who are just like, I wear beanies.
Well, some people do it just to cover their bald spot.
Hey, well, that we can all understand, Adrian. It's kind of ableist of you to even bring it up.
That's my fault. I'm not referring to you, I'm referring to other people. I don't think you could ever, Are you a Anderson .Paak tiny beanie guy?
I've done tiny beanie before.
Okay, a little condom head beanie?
I've also done big beanie. Big beanies do look sillier and sillier the balder you get, because, I mean, they're kind of meant to have hair in them.
Yeah, I've just never been able to do it. Never been a hat person. Never can, never will.
I could see you in a flat brim. I could see you pull it off a real hip-hop style.
I don't think I can. I don't know what it is about my hair, but it doesn't really work.
I'm going to get you a Yankee.
Oh.
Cut that out so you don't remember it, so that you don't know what you're getting for Christmas. Cut that out of the podcast.
Did you say a blankie?
Yankee.
Oh, a Yankee. Okay. I do wear hats infrequently enough that I can tell you the next time I'm going to wear one is for Halloween. That's my next scheduled hat.
Oh, what are you being for Halloween? A big hat?
Yeah. It'd be a big hat. That's the only way I can pull it off is if it's my entire body.
A big hat wearing a smaller hat?
No, I'm being a character named Satoshi.
Oh.
You might know him as Ash. That's his English name. Ash Ketchum.
Is this just, like, a cheap way to reuse your costume from that, like, Davis bike ride thing you guys did?
It got moved to the same weekend as Halloween, so, like, I might as well just wear it 2 days in a row.
Gotcha.
Yeah, it's one of the few costumes in that group that can work solo, because, like, whether or not the people can abstract and understand that you're doing an Eevee costume, I don't know if our costumes are that good. I missed the party where we made them. The Ash thing is just an Amazon Ash costume, so...
I don't know if I'm doing anything for Halloween, but if I do, I'm going to be Coach from Friday Night Lights.
What do you have to do for that one?
Just put on the Panthers polo and the Panthers hat and a pair of khakis.
And then Izzy's going as Ted Lasso?
I don't know if I'm going to be with Izzy. That's why I said I don't know if I'm...
You guys are breaking up? You guys are married. The divorce rate's too high in this country.
I guess I would be that either way. I guess if I don't see Izzy, I'll probably just go down to Greenville and have like a family Halloween and go with the kids trick-or-treating.
Yeah, I better say that'll be fun with the kiddos.
Yeah. Media roundup.
Hit me.
Have you heard of the Prophet Muhammad?
Yeah.
Just learning about his life and stuff. It's crazy stuff. Hind, the Quraysh, the Hashemites, Khalid ibn Walid, Ali, Aisha. Man, it's crazy.
Yeah, but who's the characters that you were talking about last time?
His wife, Khadija.
Yeah.
Muhammad's first wife, when he was still only had one wife. He only started having multiple wives after she passed. She was much older than him, which is like pretty scandalous for his era.
Back then, everyone was just a Russell Brand type.
Yikes.
Hey, I'm not trying to pass judgment in my own perspective as a 21st century person.
I don't think you could. They lived so wild back then from everything I'm learning about the life of Muhammad. Yeah. But dude, I don't know. I feel like so many people say like, hey, you know, like in American education, we don't learn enough about African history. Totally true. 100%. Mm. Nobody's mentioning how we don't learn about the caliphates. There's so much history there. It's insane.
Now, not to be a Theo Von type, but is Muhammad one of them guys that lived to be like 1,000, or is he like 30 like Jesus?
No, he's from like 600 AD, so he's actually like pretty historically attested.
Okay, cool.
I think the Quran and some other people around him are the only ones from his lifespan to actually write about his life. But within like 30 to 40 years after his death, like, the first caliphate had expanded so much that other people were writing about the caliphate.
Mm.
The Rashidun, the four caliphs of the righteous path, close family, friends, and associates of Muhammad, expanded all the way through North Africa and through Persia within like 30 years of Muhammad's life. Incredible, incredible. They put numbers on the board, man, I'm telling you.
Damn. You watching this in a PBS documentary? Is that what it is?
I watched a PBS documentary, then I watched an Al Jazeera documentary, and I've been reading, and no offense to my Muslim brothers and sisters, I've been reading The Satanic Verses. Great book.
Ooh.
That's what got me interested in Muhammad's life, because I was reading that book, and I was like, I have no idea what the fuck he's talking about in these chapters about Muhammad. And I was like, okay, well, I'll go learn a little. And then I was like, wow, a lot to learn here. Cool stuff.
All right. Paul's Mini Roundup, big ol' history nerd.
Also, I don't know if I should take sides on religions that I'm not a part of, but, like, the Shia. It's like Muhammad dies, and Ali is, like, making preparations for the funeral, and a bunch of people get together, and they're like, we vote for Abu Bakr to be the next caliph, and then Ali gets back, and it's like a Curb Your Enthusiasm moment where he's just too awkward to say anything. So I just got to give a small shout out to my Shias. Seems like they really have a point in this argument.
I just re-listened to Blowback Season 1, but which one was Osama bin Laden?
Sunni.
Okay. Okay, Wahhabist. So like, yeah, they are in the wrong. Because I'll tell you what, that was a bad dude. Can you imagine if you listened to Blowback and that was your takeaway?
Dude, I'm excited for more episodes on the Afghanistan series to come out.
I think I'm going to use my next big part of my PhD to catch up on the other two seasons before that one finishes up.
Mm. Is there any religious disputes and schisms that have torn the world apart that you want to take a side on?
We already talked about Mormonism, so we already made our claims on that one. Scientology, watch the South Park episode. We already talked about that. Just that, like, Catholics are gross. Other than that.
Hey, watch yourself.
Okay, alright. Alright, I didn't know you were riding for him still.
Not for the church, for the people.
What's that one that, like, Rainn Wilson and a bunch of other people in Hollywood were, like, 10 years ago? Like, Baha'i? I think I knew some people in high school who were, too.
You knew Baha'is?
Is that still hot? It was like a white girl in high school who was like, yeah, I chose this faith because like the way you worship is through like your art. Like that's how you worship God, is you make art. And I was like, oh, all right, cool. I'm gonna I'm gonna leave. I'll see you later. Might have been in college. That sounds more like a college girl thing to have someone tell you at a party.
I feel like I've heard of this, but I don't know anything about it. I'm literally Googling it right now.
Brother, I can't even tell you if what I'm saying is correct about it. This is all recollection.
Seems crazy.
Hey, no, I don't say that about people's religious beliefs.
Oh, sorry. Seems brazy.
No.
Cap.
Yeah, you can't call a woman crazy, but you can call her crazy.
Cray cray.
That just means she's fun at spring break. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah. I don't. Is this media roundup? I've been watching Celebrity Family Feud with Steve Harvey, your boy. Pretty fun.
Oh yeah, because you and Phil were texting about it. Yeah.
Yeah. Tiffany Haddish, great at the game. She's got a great mind for Family Feud. She knows the.
She's
the
a woman of the
answers.
People. I've always said so.
Yeah, I think so too. And Bert Kreischer, his family fucking sucked at it.
Kevin Hart's been rich and famous for too long. If he did it, it would be like, what's the thing that you would buy at the supermarket? He's like, gold bars? Like, oh.
Bugatti.
Bugatti. And then the rest of his family have to do that thing where they're clapping. They're like, yeah, Bugatti, good answer, good answer.
It makes a whole lot of sense. Like, it's Earwolf people, right? Or it's like Adam Devine and Anders Holm playing against each other. Bert Kreischer was playing against like a random CEO of multiple companies who was there with like his CFO and his wife and like a couple of other people.
Well, who was so, it? Is it somebody maybe I would recognize? Maybe you're just out of touch. Is it going to be like Jared Diamond's family?
No, maybe. You can look it up on your own time.
Also, they put Adam Levine against Anders. I feel like they never do two white families against each other.
Well, not Adam Levine, the guy from Maroon 5, but Adam Devine, the guy from his comedy troupe.
Yeah, Adam Devine.
Yeah, no, they usually do try and pick one family of color. Although,
go ahead.
I don't know, Celebrity Family Feud, the rules are out the window. Like, the biggest thing, okay, two things. One, I don't think they explain the rules to the celebrities. Because there's so many times where someone in, like, the little buzzer at the beginning gets the second place answer. And then they're like, oh, you can still try and get the first place answer. And they're so stunned by the idea that they can still get it and that they're like just silent for a minute. And then the other thing that's kind of related to that is that the buzzer is pretty meaningless in that game, like especially for Fast Money. If you go over time by like a solid 10 seconds, they'll still count the answer because it's like you're playing for charity. They're like, you know, you're not getting the money. It doesn't really matter.
I mean, it does for as much as like they actually have to pay it out like the show does.
They don't pay any of that out.
Yeah, they do.
That's one Steve Harvey outfit that they just have to reuse. And it's not like he's the queen where he's not allowed to be seen in them twice.
Oh, you think he insists that he has a new outfit every episode, so he has to sell, they have to sell it off? They're like, we can't do anything else with them. Nobody else is an XXL long and a medium width pants.
Oh my god, the big pants. Now he's switching for small pants. Steve Harvey's the only man on earth who relates with that like viral tweet of the woman being like, people don't understand how hard it is to be a woman, you're not being able to wear an outfit twice. And then Steve Harvey's the guy who responds to that and is like, yeah, I get it, me too. The last thing I was gonna say is that the WWE the wrestling guys versus the wrestling gals was a real fun one too. Check it out. You know, this is a real recommendation with a timeline. Hulu likes to put these episodes out and give you like a week to watch them for some reason, so go get them. All right, should we get to theme, or what do you want to do?
Yeah. Let's talk about the theme.
All right. Well, I wish I had my camera on, but I'm going to bring back a real quick Adrian's Beer Corner. I'm bringing in Berryessa's Aztec Lager, La Fuerza. Ironic name. I guess it's strong in flavor, but it's not really strong in alcohol. But yeah, it's a little Mexican-style lager, Aztec-style lager. I'm not actually sure what the difference is. But one of my favorite styles of beer. It's a joy. And a little bit pricey, but hey, isn't everything these days, so you know what, get one for yourself, get a 4-pack for yourself sometime between September 15th and October 15th.
All right, you want to get into the theme?
Yeah, let's do it.
Hispanic Heritage Month, and you actually Googled this earlier today, so I'll leave it to you to give us a definition.
Oh, I didn't read the first sentence. I was looking for a date. Signed into law by Lyndon B. Johnson. Big man himself.
Ooh, because he's from Texas and he knew all those Tejanos.
Yeah. It is a
Chicanos.
Government-recognized celebration that spans It's a mid-month Heritage Month from the 15th of September to the 15th of October, spanning at least five or six liberation dates for multiple Latin American countries, including Guatemala, shout out. I think it does not have, I think it's more of a Women's History Month than a Pride Month, where it's a lot less regimented in what you can expect, it seems like. And honestly, it seems like a lot of people haven't heard of it. So you don't expect a parade, but expect your library to host a movie night that most people don't hear about, is what it seems like.
Yeah, I heard about it for the first time this year when Izzy called me up and she's like, "You're not going to wish me a happy Hispanic Heritage Month?" And I was like, "Oh, I guess that's a thing."
Wow. Does she wish you a happy Arabic History Month?
I don't think we have one of them things.
Do we have one pre-9/11? All I'm saying is LBJ had some ink left in that pen. He could have signed one or two more of those.
I guess he just wanted to make his constituents happy. Isn't that just politics for you?
Or is that one of those things where, like, if a president gets too many Supreme Court picks, people get mad about it? And he's like, "Hey, you can only do one month, buddy. Let the other president, let our president pick a month."
Yeah, we thought Arabs were up next.
Then the election didn't go the way you guys thought it would. Yeah, do you have anything you want to say? So you were the one who wanted to bring this in. So do you have anything you want to say about your connection to the Latino community, the Hispanic community?
Yeah, man, I love Hispanics. I think growing up in the South, being foreign, because there aren't other Arab kids around, you end up befriending a lot of South Asian, Asian, and Hispanic kids as like your "we're all not white" mm-hmm. friend group.
Mm-hmm.
So I feel like I always hung out with Hispanic kids.
Yeah, because I was about to say, I mean, when I think friend group, I would always kind of, before I thought about it in a more racialized way, I'd usually throw Fjorgis in there too as a little expat.
Oh yeah, true. He did kind of have like little that foreign energy, like there was something about him that wasn't like blue-blooded American.
Yeah. Like, I never got a really good sense of his parents, but they just struck me immediately as more reasonable than other parents. I don't know.
I was in the Society of Hispanic Engineers in college. Met a lot of good dudes that.
Forgot about that.
I feel like
I wasn't in any Hispanic societies.
How do I say anything about Hispanic people without coming off either cheesy or racist? But I love y'all, man. Y'all are part of the tapestry that makes this country beautiful.
Oh, come on now. And we are not a monolith, so I cannot say anything about whether or not we love you.
No cap.
Brother, I'm going to give you some advice. If you want to find the Chicano place of anywhere, I guess besides New York, where it's mostly Puerto Ricans, go to the laundromat.
Ah, that's true.
I have never been closer to my people than when I go to the laundromat.
Yeah, how do you feel about Hispanic Heritage Month, Adrian? Do you feel seen?
I feel very unseen. The fact that you didn't even know that it was a thing.
Did you know about it?
No. I mean, I always knew that Guatemalan Independence Day was the 15th of September, but even then, I don't think they have the same kind of, like, U.S. tendency to, like, make it a thing where you light fireworks and shit, so I don't even know how it's traditionally celebrated or, like, how my family ever really celebrated it. I think for them it was like independence. Hey, same old shit, just another day. I'll tell you what, ain't no better for us. I don't actually know if they think that way. it seems cool. I think my one issue with blank Heritage Months is that it's just such a pool for reactionaries. But you know, I don't think that's a reason you shouldn't do these things. You just have to, like, brace yourself for all the bad jokes and takes that are going to happen if it becomes, like, a really mainstream thing.
Yeah, it's kind of like Juneteenth. Like, I didn't know about it for the longest time, and then all of a sudden I get a day off work, and there's a lot of fun festivals around town. Come on, we can make it happen for Latino Heritage Month, too.
Yeah, I mean,
come on, everybody, let's get together. Let's do it.
It might be one of those things where I just never really thought about the timing, but I feel like I've seen, because, you know, speaking about, like, locations, Davis is pretty like white and Asian, but like the places all around it are pretty fucking Latino. And I think, oh god, I want to say for Sacramento it's Mexicans number one, and then Salvadoran, and then maybe Guatemalan.
I'm gonna clip that out of context to break Mama Perez's heart. It's just the clip of you saying Mexicans number one. She's gonna be like, oh no, my baby, they got to him.
He's been brainwashed. But I feel like I've seen Latin heritage, Latin food, Latin blank festivals around here in the outskirts, where my dad's from, famously, around Davis, like, pop up all the time in my time that I've been here. I don't think I ever correlated it to a specific time of year. It wasn't like Paul seeing a back to school sign or whatever. I felt like it could have happened at any moment. So yeah, I think maybe that did happen more often around this time of year than I realized, but I don't know. You can consolidate all of those so that I know when to be ready for some pupusas or something. That'd be cool.
Mm-hmm.
All right, let me freshen up my beer and then we can get into articles. All right, pali boy.
All right, Adrian, for my article, I brought in OC Weekly's Ask a Mexican. This is Orange County's leading source of news, culture, and entertainment.
This sounds problematic.
It does have a problematic image, but Gustavo, the writer, does seem like a Mexican man, so maybe that makes it more okay. The little cartoon he uses for it is deeply caricaturistic. Anyway, I'm asking this question for my best friend, who also happens to be my ex-girlfriend. Both she and her... Are you following along with this? Because I'm going to tell you, Adrian, pre-reading this, it is a convoluted web to follow, so...
Do you want to send it to me?
I did.
All right. Oh, God, this image is terrible.
I'm asking this question for my best friend, who also happens to be...
Oh, and it was asked during Hispanic Heritage Month.
Who also happens to be my ex-girlfriend. Both she and her guy are educated Mexican-Americans. She moved in with her fiancé, and the problem is that his parents also live there. His overbearing mom has 7 dogs and numerous chickens. Still does everything for her baby, such as making his lunch every day and cleaning the room he shares with my ex, and offers her ranchito advice on everything. Contrary to what she said earlier, the mom has told her that she will not move until her son asks her. Now, they may try to buy a duplex so they can at least have some privacy or even a second home. The mother tries to make her feel guilty by saying it is normal in Mexico, and her son loves the house he worked so hard to buy. My ex has lived there close to a year and is pushing her boyfriend to make a tough decision, or she is moving out. Her fiancé might be in the worst position because he will lose his girl, my ex, evict his mom, probably to an okay apartment, or need to move into a duplex or buy a second house. Can you tell me what you think is the right thing to do? Gracias.
So he's still in love with her, right?
Right?
What a weird thing to take upon yourself.
Why? This might be one of the more uncomfortable questions we've ever had.
Is this the most detached a person's been from the question that they've asked? I guess you've probably had things that are one place removed like this before.
I think I've heard people, like, especially when people are talking about other people's dogs, we've definitely gotten a couple layers removed, but this one is weird.
Yeah.
And convoluted.
Yeah.
And they keep mentioning Mexico and Mexicanness as if that has to do with this question, but it doesn't really feel like it does, except for
part of the cultural context.
Mother-in-law. Yeah, the mother-in-law is claiming, like, this is normal for us to
live. Wait, they're not married. That's not his mother-in-law.
Well, you know, for me, there's no line between married and not married.
Mm. Wait, is it just about the mom? It says his parents also live there. Does the dad not do anything? Is he chill?
Yeah, you know how he is. He's one of those Mexican dads. They're like invisible and made out of ethereal slime, and they can like pass through walls.
That is what Mexican dad can do.
Getting Mexican dads and ghosts mixed up again. Yeah, I guess he's not as overbearing.
Yeah. Which I guess is one solution for it. I don't know, maybe you're never going to change somebody and it is easier just to move out, I guess.
7 dogs and numerous chickens is a lot to bring to somebody's house that you're not permanently occupying.
Yeah.
But it does seem nice that I see why this guy wants his mom around. She treats him like her baby, does everything for him. I'm tired of cleaning my room, Adrian.
be kind of cool. You're like going back to early pandemic days.
Your mom never seemed like the type, right? She wasn't a, she never babied you.
Oh yeah, she babied me, but like cleaned my room. That was her fucking job for other people, which was going to do that for me too.
Yeah, I mean, she's really good at it.
You're right. It's specialization is what it is. It's like, I was like, Mom, it really doesn't make sense if we break down the time per unit labor for me to do it.
Exactly.
You're so specialized at it.
Your room was so tiny. It's, you know, considering you were a child, like for her, it took seconds. For you, it's hours because you had to walk all the way across that room multiple
just
times.
Because of the relative size difference. That was, yeah.
To her, she was just using one hand to sweep everything away. For you, it was...
That's actually an interesting question. I don't remember when I started cleaning my room on my own, but it was young enough that I don't remember like my mom actively cleaning my room for me.
My mom always cleaned my room until I moved out.
Really? Up until high school?
Yeah.
Damn. No, I think I do have a distinct memory of learning to do laundry on my own, like 11 years old or 10 years old. That's when she was like, all right, Bucko, you can start doing this.
I remember having to ask my mom as I left for college, like, okay, let's do a quick 1-2 on this thing. How does it work?
Is there like a thumbprint scanner? Like, how do you do this? Because I know no one else tries to use it.
I will say I did learn to, I guess, cook for myself is a big word. She did still basically cook everything, but I wasn't as useless as my other siblings in the kitchen. Like, my mom could leave without leaving a plated meal in the fridge, and I could figure something out.
Yeah, you'd go foraging for blackberries.
Oh, yeah, that was delightful. My childhood was a little fairy tale.
You go out into the bamboo forest and kill a tiger, you'd be able to eat for months. Shit. Oh, yeah. Maybe that is also a part of what you were saying, though, is like, do you really need to mention so many times that the mom's Mexican? Unless maybe that's like a very specific thing on how to address the issue. Is like, well, you got to talk to a Mexican mom like this, but you talk to a Jewish mom like this. Like, even though they all have the same, or your Lebanese mom, they all have the same stereotypes sometimes of like, they're all kind of overbearing or whatever. And it's like a culture shock for Americans. But like, it's a pretty general type of mom. I don't know.
Yeah,
not really a Mexican thing.
Well, she's using like, oh, it's normal for the family unit to all live together.
I mean, it is still.
It is.
That's how it is for my family back home. Yeah.
So maybe this girlfriend
should get
over it.
They're all within like a walk away from each other.
Do you think maybe this mom has a point? She should live with them.
No, I don't. Well, I don't know. That is an equal correctness. That just means that you can understand where her perspective is coming from.
Mm.
I don't think that decides the matter.
Oh, what's Ranchito advice? Do you know what that means?
It's probably just a nickname she has for him, since it's, you know, the diminutive form of it.
Oh, and offers her Ranchito advice on it. Okay. I read that wrong, and offers... I didn't realize her was possessive. I thought it was, and offers her Ranchito... Like, I thought Ranchito was a type of advice. Like, she's offering her Ranchito-style advice.
No, it's
yeah,
just a nickname.
I see now. I misunderstood the grammar there. I mean, I don't think that they can overlook how nice it probably is to have fresh eggs every morning as part of this balance.
I was gonna say pros, cons. That if they have any plans to start a family, this is like ideal situation to start a family in.
Mm-hmm.
Are you kidding me? You got little chickens and dogs for your kids to play with. You got your mom there all the time. Apparently, presumably not working. So like, I don't know, maybe you can get into the ethicality of using your mom as, like, free labor to take care of your child, but, like, I don't know, it takes a village.
So the person,
you know,
writing in...
Watch soccer with your dad?
The person writing in, we need to give them advice for what they really want, and that's advice on how to break this couple up, right?
Yeah.
I mean, obviously use this as a wedge to sow the seeds of discord to end their relationship, so you can swoop in and get your ex-girlfriend back.
I think this is weird because, okay, so they've been living together for a year, and unless she rebounded really quick, that means they've been apart for about a year and a half, hopefully, and he still calls her my ex instead of my best friend, which is how he's tried to, like, couch this as, like, this is why I'm writing about it.
Yeah. It is weird that the first sentence they mention best girlfriend also happens to be my ex-girlfriend, and then ex throughout the rest of it instead of friend.
Made me think, like, oh, this guy just wants her back.
It's so much, it's weird to include that detail if you're really trying to pretend that it's, like, not about.
Not to be too topical, but he's been trying to forget Sarah Marshall, and clearly he can't.
Yeah. Do you want to hear Gustavo Areno's advice?
Yeah, Areno? I think so.
Is that how you pronounce that name? Areno?
Gustavo Arellano.
Arellano. Gustavo Arellano.
I just don't take this question seriously. It's hard for me to really give any real advice. I don't, like, it's a convoluted situation where I don't think any of it really matters. I'm sure they're probably going to figure it out.
I think it sounds weird
that he wants to be the one to do that. Well, let her write in. Let her know, like, hey, there's a Mexican dude who can ask her questions about this.
That's what makes it extra messy, is that there's a...
Why can't he just text her and say, hey, bestie?
Boyfriend.
Hey, bestie, maybe write into this column about your weird convoluted thing you got going on.
Also, like, your boyfriend, he doesn't treat you right. He doesn't treat you right. Guys are the best guys in the world. Shout out to them.
Hell yeah, dude. Dudes rock. I did get a peek after scrolling down at the next question, and I just wanted to say I really love that question. I know it wouldn't have been something that we both could have talked about, and it's kind of a weird etymology question, but I do like it.
Maybe we can do a little bonus second on it. Why do I suspect your ex has nothing to do with this question? That you're just looking for my okay to break them up so you can whip out your Mexican thing? Go for it. As your ex's fiance is already on the way out, assimilated women will never understand the hold a mommy has on her son and will never accept that a man can still be an adult even if his mom insists on washing his chonies every week because the damn gal in his life doesn't use enough Sovital. Your ex should be content with the fact that her guy owns a home in this millennial era and that she has potential... Adrian, that word, can you help me with it?
Owns?
Suegra?
Suegra?
She has potential suegra that'll offer free babysitting for life. Is that like in-law? Go ask gabachos who live far away from their parents how much babysitting costs. But she isn't. So you have my blessing, ex-novio. Ex-novio. Break them up. Just remember, though, that the mujer will soon start asking you why you love your mom so. So have fun with your pinche novela. I apologize to all Hispanic, Mexican, Guatemalan, and Latino people for my pronunciation of every word in that answer.
I mean, famously, not all of them know Spanish.
That's true. Mm-hmm. And Adrian, you took an interest in the second question in this article. As a proud Tex-Mex, I've always heard huevos used to describe anything with brass, but a huevon to describe a lazy ass. How can that be? Shouldn't a huevon be a supermex?
Yeah, so my thing is that I don't think these words are etymologically related, but maybe they are. I think this is someone who just kind of knows like a couple of slang words in Spanish asking this question, but first of all, famously, I think like even Pierce knows this or whatever, that like huevos is usually like a slang for balls because it's eggs. And Nicole always brings up the fact that in Polish, their word for eggs is also used as a slang for testicles.
Oh, same in the Arabic.
Yeah, and I've brought in, yeah, you know, like, yeah. I mean, I think we also have avocado, too. That's, like, technically where the indigenous word comes from, is they call them testicles. I think because they grew in Paris, too. But I've talked before on pod about the word huevon, where, like, in Guatemala and in my family, that's, like, your dad can say that to you, and it's, like, a joke. But, like, in other places, if you said that to a stranger, there's, like, fighting words. So I don't know why that word always, like, fascinated me a little bit. That's all I had to say. I wonder if the answer actually has anything about etymology, because I can't imagine those words are connected at all.
I was going to say, did you know etymologically male and female, not the same root?
Really?
Yeah.
Learning something new every day.
Alrighty.
All right. Yeah, let's give you a break and let's go to mine. All right, cool. So we're bringing back in the GOAT, John Paul Brammer. I think... who was I talking to recently about the show? Oh, man. Too soon to be putting people in an uncomfortable situation, but if Arthi starts listening after Marshall's episode, she mentioned that she asked if we had brought in Dan Savage before, and I was like, yeah, of course, like a couple of times. Normally Paul talks about him being fat phobic or whatever, and she was like, oh, I really love Dan Savage, but I could see that being true. but when she was asking me about like who are your like top people that you like to bring in or that you think are actually good advice columnists, and Ola Poppy came to mind for me. I don't know about what you say for people, but
Yeah, I mean, I think I don't bear, really like any of them that much.
It's Ola Poppy. So our two Latin kings.
Ola Poppy's definitely better than Dear Bear. There's ones that I definitely dislike, like Captain Awkward, I never really care for.
Oh, yeah.
But you're right. Ola Poppy, I do like that advice. Yeah,
a little wordy. But like, if you're actually writing in a question, he'd be someone I would actually seek advice from.
I guess I find the Houston Press, what's his name? I find him funny because he's usually so like...
Oh, Willie D?
Curt. Willie D.
But would you go to him for advice? So,
I don't think I would go to him for advice. I find it funny how he kind of just like snubs other people and gives them short like joke answers.
Yeah, I feel that. All right, cool. Well, I'm bringing in Ola Poppy. And after big upping him, let's see what he has to say. Quick intro, because it's been a while. Ola Poppy is the preeminent deranged advice column from writer and author John Paul Brammer, now living on Substack. If you ever wanted advice from a Twitter-addled gay Mexican with anxiety, here is your chance. Ooh, sorry for bringing in another Mexican. I feel like we really are equating Hispanic with Mexican, which is one of my gripes from growing up in the South, people assuming that you were Mexican.
It's America. A lot of the people getting published... It's just like a statistics thing. Like Mexicans are much more common in this country and probably publishing a lot more media.
Yeah, I think I mentioned this story. I've definitely said the story before, but the time where we had a sub for a class that was like already a do-nothing class. And so she was just asking us about shit. And I mentioned my distaste for having to explain to people that there are other countries besides Mexico that exist in Latin America. And her response was, well, it gives you a chance to educate them. And I was like, lady, you'd be so canceled in this day and age. All right. Is Lebanon the Mexico of the Middle East?
I mean, growing up, nobody knew what Lebanon was. But also, I feel like that has to do a lot with the ignorance of the place we grew up more than, like, I think it's a relatively well-known country. I don't know.
I feel like when you're talking about disproportionateness of, like, success and, like, famous people, I feel like Lebanon's got it on lock.
Yeah, we do have a lot of that. One time I said something, I don't remember how we got into the conversation, but I named the countries that border Guatemala, and you seemed shocked I could do that. So your expectations are also very low for Americans that
I was shocked that
you think I'm somewhat smart. So the fact that you thought even I wouldn't be able to.
I was shocked that you recognized Belize as a country, because we do not.
You were scandalized, not shocked.
No, yeah. That's totally true.
I just misunderstood. Yeah, and I mean, I won't speak for you, but I do think you think I'm pretty intelligent. So if you thought I couldn't do it, I mean, you really think most Americans just have no fucking clue what's going on down there.
Yeah, I mean, I don't even know. Yeah, I mean, it's more education than intelligence, right? It's the whole thing about Americans just never learn that shit. But yeah.
True.
Not that I don't think you're a very smart boy.
Oh, thank you. I was so clearly fishing for that, Adrian. It took you a while, though.
Okay. Here is the question, and it's starting off with a picture of the little salsa or tango dancing emoji lady. Who was it that I heard the other day talk about how there are way too many Japanese emojis? And I was like, hey, lady, who do you think's making them? Okay. Let's get into this question. Ola Poppy, I am in a very happy long-term relationship with the whitest of Mayo white boys, but we're open and occasionally, quote-unquote, play together. It's become impossible to ignore that in both cases, I definitely have a type. Husky Latino guys. Ooh, give her my number. I'm never explicitly looking for them, and I have and do gladly hook up with guys of all ethnic backgrounds. But Latino boys are definitely where I end up more often than not. If a cute, thick boy named Carlos comes within 5 feet of me on the dance floor, I'll probably be all over him. At what point should I be concerned that I'm fetishizing Latino guys? And if I am, what can I do about it? I'm not asking them to speak Spanish to me or anything. I don't call them papi, except for the one guy who told me to. I don't expect matador roleplay, but it's impossible to ignore that I've made a pass at every Luis in Hell's Kitchen. What do you think? Sincerely, Chorizo Lover. I'm more worried about her using the stereotypical names than the fetishization.
Wait, her? They're writing into Ola Poppy. It's almost certainly a man, right?
Oh, you know what? Probably, yeah. I just assume because of the dancing lady.
Oh, yeah, sure. Or maybe because heteronormative much?
No, I think it was the dancing lady.
You just see an emoji and you're like, that must be the person writing it.
Yeah, that's what they do. Well, no, I think I've said that before for Slate magazine. Whenever they post a picture and it's like a black person, I'm like, oh, is this written by a black person? It's like, oh, yeah, I guess it's unrelated. It's just about their child being a picky eater or something.
The way they talk to just like husky Latino guy, there's something about it that...
Oh, yeah, I can see what you mean.
That feels gay-coded to me.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
On top of it being all a poppy, so...
Okay, I feel you, I feel you. I don't have to worry about this, since hopefully, fingers crossed, never having kids. But there is a joke that I do with my mom sometimes, where she asks why I'm tired or something like that. I'll tell her that it's the kid that I have or whatever, and I always name him Carlito. But I think if I had a kid, I don't think I'd actually give him like a Carlito or something like that name. I don't know what kind of name I'd go for.
You'd name them Khaleesi?
No, you know, I've always liked names from anime, which are usually English translated to be European names or their Japanese names, which I don't think any of them are really going to fit a little half Guatemalan, half Pakistani kid.
You're really aiming. I always forget your devotion to South Asian women.
And man, Kumail, hit me up.
I mean, I guess that's relevant to this column about finding a specific ethnicity.
Oh, yeah. What cute thing I do to sign off my...
It sounds so creepy to talk about this. There's no good word to use.
What cute thing do I use to sign off my letter in that case? Is it just like Kafta lover? Or like, what's the... Would that be a Turkish guy? Oh, yeah. He does do that thing, too, where... I mean, it's a cute little joke, but yeah, I think a lot of... ethnic people talk about not liking food being brought into the bedroom or like attractive sexually like metaphors like that being brought in or whatever are kind of usually seen as a little bit offensive. Whereas did this person say what their ethnicity was?
I'm the whitest of mayo white boys.
No, I'm in a long-term relationship.
Oh no, I'm in a...
So we don't really know.
Oh yeah, they don't actually mention.
Also, the whitest of mayo white boys would be a Wonder Bread boy, or what is it, Miracle Whip? A Miracle Whip boy.
Is Miracle Whip whiter than other mayos?
I think so. Maybe it's just seen as more white lower class. There's a lot to dissect here is what I'm saying. It's a complex question.
I think like all of these, like I have a specific attraction things, you have to ask yourself like, why? So, I mean, if it's because there's a stereotype about that group of people as a people, like socially, then that's a no-go. You're being problematic. In my mind, but if you just genuinely feel like you like how they look, then it's a yes go. That's okay to have that sort of...
Yeah, but then we're also missing the whole conflation of whiteness and Latino-ness, Latinidad.
Because
There's plenty of white guys named Carlos who probably you aren't immediately attracted to, which I guess can still be totally healthy, but like...
But that's problematic... That's a problematic part of the question, not a problematic part of his life or attraction.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I mean, that's more just like he could have asked the question better.
Yeah.
Which, I mean, he is being cheeky and funny how he asks it. Like the, you know, not asking them to dress up like a matador. Like he's making this a fun little sexy question for Ola Poppy.
And something tells me, and I haven't looked into this, that this is probably going to be a pretty long-winded answer, but I'm sure he's going to hit some really good points.
But yeah, I mean... It becomes offensive if you are like, oh, I like a spicy Latino guy, but I could never, you know, respect him in a relationship. But like, oh, boy, they're good lays.
Yeah.
That's how people talk.
Do you think
right?
It's also a worry that they're worried about fetishizing Latino guys? So that might be why they don't try and date them. But then they have a white boyfriend that they're seemingly saying that they want to make role play as a Latino person, which...
Wait, when do they say that?
My boyfriend and I like to play... Oh, you know what? I just realized when you put it in the context of a gay relationship that it probably just means that it's a threesome and not like a... I'm making him do a character.
No, I think the question is... sorry. Like, I think the question was saying, when I'm with Latino guys, I'm not doing anything offensive, like expecting them to do a matador role play.
No. That's what I was saying, is that I mistook play together to mean role playing and not like they like to have threesomes with guys.
No, I think it is role playing.
No, I don't think so. I think we're open means that we're in a poly relationship and we occasionally play together. We do threesomes.
Oh, the first play, not the play and role play, but the play and play together.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Oh my God, this question is complex, man. There's a lot going on here. Mostly driven by my reading comprehension being at a third grade level.
I also wonder when it comes to the white boyfriend, who could be Latino, who knows? I don't know. Was it the league that made that joke where, like, if these guys are doing threesomes and, like, you pick a Latino dude twice, he's immediately like, something's up. You can't pick two Latino dudes in a row. You have to have at least one person break it up in between. I think they have that joke about Asian women in the league where it's like, that guy dated two Asian women in a row. Clearly he has a type.
You think this guy isn't questioning his bias because he's truly concerned. He's questioning it because his boyfriend's side-eyeing him.
I think it's a possibility. Because,
Yeah, I guess it is one of those things you might never realize until you, like, feel an external gaze perceiving what's going on.
Yeah. Man, I would feel so bad for these guys.
And then it could make your boyfriend feel insecure.
Yeah, yeah. I was going to say, I would feel so bad for these guys if they tried to recruit my friend Esteban to it for a threesome when he was married to a white woman and he would go by Steven. They'd be like, hey, what's your name? Steven. Like, it's not Esteban? He's like, nah, Steven. That's what my wife makes me go by.
And when they got divorced, you started going by Esteban again for the dating apps?
I don't know. I'm not on there. I'm not in his range.
Give himself a little bit of flair. You got to do anything in the market nowadays.
I think he switched his Facebook. No, his Facebook name's still Steve. Maybe he just likes going by Steve.
I was gonna say if he switched his Facebook name back to Esteban, that I would be like, holy shit! He got married to that white woman. It was a Get Out sort of situation. What the fuck?
That's how I always played it. Just because I kind of ended the situation not liking her that much, but I'm sure she probably wasn't actually that bad.
She was a cop, right?
No, that's the person he's currently dating.
Oh. Now it's a Get Out situation.
Mm-hmm. Would you go out with someone who made you go by Boulos?
If somebody wanted to call me Boulos in the bedroom, I would let him.
Ooh, letting the Boulos in the bedroom.
Anytime I'm shopping for kitchenware, I'm like, hey, don't let the Boulos in the china shop. Am I right, guys? And then the lady working at the place is like, I don't get it. I'm like, oh, in Arabic, my name is Boulos. And she's like, I guess that's funny. And I'm like, I'm going to go somewhere else. Awkward.
All right, yeah. I don't know. Do you have that much to say about this, or do you want to go see what Poppy has to say?
My advice? Latino dance night. Actually, those have a lot of couples.
Yeah, it is a famously coupled dance. Paul, has anyone ever called you Poppy?
No.
A lady at a Foot Locker in New York called me that once.
And? Did it do anything for you?
No. I was like, lady, I don't want to be a dad. I'm not ready for that, man.
But she put, like, that Puerto Rican stank on it. Like, you think, what if a Mexican girl called you Poppy?
Ooh. Well, no, it was a black woman. It wasn't a Latino woman. Or I guess it could be a black Latino woman.
It could have been. You just spent this whole article trying to make sure we appreciated the nuances of ethnicity and race. And here you go making that mistake.
She did not have a Puerto Rican accent. She did put a lot of stank on it, though.
There was a lot of stank on it. It was like, Poppy.
Mm-hmm.
Wait, cut that.
Do you guys have an equivalent to that? Does anyone call you Baba when they're hitting on you?
Oh, God. That sounds so much more disgusting. I hope nobody does Baba.
It sounds a little closer to baby talk for some reason.
Yeah, it does sound more like baby talk.
Yeah, and that's the issue. Nasty.
Nasty.
Yeah, anyway, so some of the advice, you're allowed to have a type, just don't be fucking weird about it, guy. Come on.
Don't be weird about it, guy. And you're being weird about it writing into an advice column. It's kind of weird.
Also, given Ola Poppy's body type, it kind of sounds like they're doing some fishing.
Do you think this is them sliding into Ola Poppy's DMs on Substack?
This is the closest they can do it, yeah.
They're like, shit, he has his messages blocked on all the other apps. I gotta go Substack. All right, I'll let you get into the answer because it is a whopper.
All right. Oh, God, we're going to Burger King, baby.
Hey, get me some chicken fries.
Is that your favorite thing from Burger King? Famously hated item.
Do they even sell it anymore? I think it's just
they kinda go
one
in
of
and
the
out.
Most famously unique items.
Yeah, real mastery of innovation.
Well, nobody else has chicken fries, and we already mentioned Whoppers. What else? The am I going to mention the Chick-King sandwich? They don't have that anymore. They got rid of it and it broke my heart.
Like, it was good. It was really good.
If you try to order it now, sometimes they'll just
give you the shitty ones.
Last time I tried to order it. Yeah, they just give you the regular chicken sandwich. I'm like, this is not the Chick-King sandwich.
I was asked to be treated like a Chick-King.
Not even close.
It's like, hey, buddy, why don't you just fuck me in the ass if you're going to do that?
And then he's like, hey, puppy, pull over. Maybe I will.
Okay, all right. Let's get into this Whopper.
I'm in the drive-thru. That's why he said pull over. If that wasn't clear.
Hey there, CL, or should I say hola, since that's what gets you going. Were you hard when you wrote this because you gotta call someone Poppy, you sick freak? Okay, I like the energy starting with. I'm kidding, we like to joke down here in Mexico, where I am from and live, ha ha ha. But anyways, yes, in regards to your problem, I don't care. I don't mean that in a callous way. It's not because I think your feelings are invalid or that there's nothing useful to be gleaned from mediating on your desires. It's just that as long as you're treating people with respect and it's consensual, then you probably have bigger fish to fry. We call it pescado here in Mexico. Want to learn something today, CL? I'm working on a ghostwriting project, I Am the Ghost, that involves the history of the word Latino. Let me tell you, it's ridiculous. To make it comically brief, ancient Rome used to be the heart of a place called Latium, and the people from there were called Latins. The Latins conquered a whole bunch of places in the process, spread their language, that's how we got the Romance languages, including Romanian, French, and Spanish. So then, CL, then Spain colonized a significant portion of the Americas, Portugal did the same to Brazil, and, well, they made a mess of everything. Through pestilence, plunder, and punishment, we arrived at the modern composition of Latin America, so dubbed in the mid-1800s because, I shit you not, France needed a flimsy pretext to align itself with the region while installing a monarch there and decided that the Latin thing would suit. Je suis Latin, they probably said, Frenchly. That doesn't tell anywhere near the whole story. The word Hispanic, the US census, and a Chilean poet also got involved. The general history is muddled to say the least. But I'm telling you this because I don't even know what a Latino is anymore, or what I'm supposed to do with the word, because it's ultimately a linguistic construct that's trying to incorporate too many experiences. Shit, I did not pre-read this. I didn't realize Paul was just going to put into words the stuff that I've been saying for a long time.
Poppy.
Oh, the Poppy. Wait, what did I say, Paul?
Yeah.
Paul Bramer. Sorry.
Oh, yeah, I thought you were thinking of me.
No, you very rarely put the things that I'm thinking into words.
I more often put them into farts.
All I know is that when you say, I like Latinos, I'm almost certain you mean a light-skinned brownish boy who rolls his R's and has some vague connection to Catholicism and, oh, okay, doing a Paul stereotype. And I don't know, Vapo-rub? That's what it means to a lot of people today. And sure, we exist. But you're probably more into an imagined Latino aesthetic than into Latinos. You're not horny for a region or a complex geopolitical identity that includes every single type of Latino, but a narrow view of it, as you put it, a thick three C's is in esta econima, boy named Carlos. And yeah, that's kind of a fetish. Most people have those and just don't talk about them because they're embarrassing or worse, offensive. They just call it having a type and have the decency to leave it there. Making a pass at every Luis in Hell's Kitchen is a weird thing to say out loud. Okay, see, that's one or two where I was like, it was cutesy but bordering on offensive to say that. But if you and Luis are into it, what do you want me to do about it? Be mad? I bet you'd like that with a spiciness. Yes, a lot of harmful stereotypes can come into play and inform our predilections, and it's important to look into those. You might want to ask yourself, for example, am I into Latin guys because I think they're macho? Is it because I think they're aggressive or exotic? Is my vision of a Latino exclusive of Afro-Latinos, like Adrian's? You know?
Mm-hmm.
Things like that. And, oh, like Adrian's and Paul's? Things like that.
Whoa, when was I Afro-Latino exclusive?
When have you been inclusive of Afro-Latinos?
Literally all the time.
No, don't think so.
No. I'm not letting this one go.
I literally have no examples of you being inclusive of Afro-Latinos in the way that you've spoken about things.
What about when I corrected you about the black woman being Latino?
Yeah, we kind of did it at the same time. I think it was kind of like we corrected the atmosphere.
Seems like you're really trying to save face by dragging me under the bus with you, but okay.
I think you throw people under the bus. You don't drive them in a smaller vehicle under the bus.
Seems like you're really trying to change the conversation by pointing out my poorly used idiom metaphor.
Don't drive me under the bus, all Akira style on a motorcycle.
Shut up, man.
That's just as embarrassing as when I was committing erasure earlier.
That was just as embarrassing as when I was committing erasure.
Okay, interrogating these questions sounds productive, so knock yourself out, I guess. Meanwhile, have your little hookups, treat people with respect, and try not to talk about it like you're being special for being white and shopping in the Fiesta Mart. Okay, so he also assumed that they're white. And anyway, have you considered that these boys are on the are the ones hunting you? Maybe you're the one being fetishized here, Columbus. I'm Keating again. Hee hee. Good luck out there. Book a trip to beautiful Latium, TM. Con mucho amor, Poppy. All right, that was fun. I like that one.
Yeah. I mean, Poppy came through with the humor, the insights, and the general good vibes we look to him for.
Sweet. All right, Paul, for this next segment, I'm going to need you. Oh, so third segment. Do you want to introduce it while I get it set up?
Yeah, so for this third segment, it's going to be a quiz about Latin culture, and you know me, I'm famously a gringo, so I don't know a lot about the different types of hats from around the Latin American and South American world. So Adrian's gonna give me a quiz of different hats, and I have to I guess both describe them to the audience and then guess if they are an indigenous hat from South America or Latin America. And I can get a point if I guess the country they're from, or if I can correctly ascertain that they are not an indigenous hat.
A Latin American hat. Can you do a random number generator 1 through 15?
Hey y'all, this is Paul from the end of the show. Just coming in with a special reminder to check the description for a picture of all the hats. So that as we're playing the quiz coming up right now, you can be looking at the hats. So check the description.
All right, and that'll decide how we do this, just so that we're not biasing. Also, I'm not gonna lie, I don't actually know off the top of my head how many I did of each. So that's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. All right, Polly boy. Oh wait, hold on. How did you want to play this? Did you want to get how many guesses, or do you want to do it like dichotomous key, where first you have to guess if it's Latin American or not, and then I can let you guess the country if you're right about that, or what do you want to do? Just want to go for it? Do you want to have any hints? A lot of times the names are going to give it to you, basically, so.
This one looks like a,
Oh, I will say, strategy-wise, before you start describing, there were ones where the only good pictures are on people, and so that's going to be a big-ass hint. I was lucky enough to find one of these on a mannequin, like, styrofoam thing.
This one is, it looks like a, what are those French hats for painters called?
A beret?
It looks like a beret with, like, a little red poof on the top, and then it has two, like, straps, and it looks like it's made out of black satin. And it has these two straps coming out of the back and a pin of a reindeer, or maybe just an elk. A big deer-like creature on one side. It kind of looks like Eastern European or Russian to me, maybe even like Mongolian potentially. Maybe kind of going out towards that region, but I'm going to have to think Russian just because of the like elk thing. So I'm going to go not Latin American.
Okay, and do you have a guess for country, or do you not want to guess if you're going outside of Latin America?
Russia.
All right, Paul, keep your own score for yourself. Do you have a guess for how well you're going to do on this?
I get 2 potential points on each one.
Yeah, 15.
I'll say 15. I'll go cocky.
Okay. I guess since the second part of it is skill, that is a pretty tough one to do. Okay, this is a Balmoral bonnet from Scotland, which is famously not in Latin America.
Okay, so 1 point on that one.
So the Balmoral bonnet in Scottish English, or the Balmoral cap otherwise, and formerly called the Kilmarnock bonnet, is a traditional Scottish hat that can be worn as part of a formal or informal Highland dress, developed from earlier blue bonnet dating to at least the 16th century. It takes the form of a knitted soft wool cap with a flat crown. I think when you don't see it on a person, it looks way more full. I don't even know. I mean, Scotland's just as foreign to us as anywhere else, but it does just look a little bit like crazier than you'd expect a Scottish person to wear.
Next is number two.
Okay. Close your eyes. All right. Number two.
Ooh, this looks straight out of the mountains of Peru, and that's my final answer. Oh, I'll describe it for the audience. It looks like a sombrero, but woven out of a more fabric-y sort of material? Well, no, I guess it does look like reeds a little bit. It's kind of hard to tell. Like, it's like reeds on top of... It's like reeds intertwined with a fabric, a blue fabric. It kind of has the shape of a sombrero, but with like a little pinch on the top, like a little condom pinch on the very top. How would you describe it, Adrian?
Well, I would also describe the fact that it's got more wave to it. It's almost got like a manta ray, like swimming, like with its fins up type thing, more than a sombrero, which has more of like a, you know, in like Despicable Me 2, where Gru uses it as like a big chip sombrero with guacamole in it. You couldn't really do that with this one because there's too much flat space on the front and back.
Yeah, that's true. I didn't really point that out. This one isn't curved all the way around. It's curved on the right and left side.
Almost as if it's used for a very particular purpose.
Well, the curved sides, I mean, probably to keep the sun off. Oh, almost as if you're on the mountains of Peru and you don't want it to bump against the right and left wall.
Final answer?
Yeah.
All right, I kind of just did that to throw you off. I don't actually know if it has any specific purpose. this is called a vueltao, or I guess that would be the Portuguese pronunciation. Vueltao?
Oh, Portuguese. God damn it.
No, it's actually it's Colombian. You just don't see a lot of A-O's together like that. It's Colombian, and it's a traditional hat from Colombia, which originated amongst the Xenu tribes, not that type of Xenu. Made out of local type of cane, the name of the hat is also the Colombian regionalism that originates in the word for turn or lap, Spanish vuelta, and arose due to the way that the hat is made. Okay, so that's 2 correct for general region, 2 incorrect for specific country, which makes sense. I think it is kind of hard to nail down where any of these are going to be particularly from.
Number 14.
All right, close your eyes.
Okay, to describe this one, it's imagine the lady that they used for the Chiquita bananas. It's like a banana-based headdress. I can't really tell what's coming down the side.
I think those are apples or pomegranates.
Oh, man. Is this one of those cultures? Like, I want to say Latin American, but is it one of those things where they just thought it sold well? I'm going to go Latin American and say... what's up, Banana Republic? Panama?
Okay, so we talked before a little bit. I tried to correct you about all of these being indigenous. How are we deciding who gets credit for this based on, like, where the person's from or where it was invented or where it was popularized?
Where it's considered a national icon.
Okay, then Latin America, Panama. Okay, so this is called the fruit hat. And this was invented in Hollywood by a Brazilian actress.
Ooh.
So this is a fruit hat is a festive and colorful hat popularized by Carmen Miranda and associated with warm locales. This type of hat has been worn by fashionistas in films, by comic strip characters, and for Halloween. The fruit used tends to sit on the top and around the head. And varies in type, e.g. bananas, berries, cherries, and pineapples.
All right, so 0 points. It's kind of what I said. I was sort of half expecting it to be just something that was like a marketing gimmick.
There's like one or two of these that are kind of trick questions.
Okay, next up we got number 6.
Most pretty straightforward, actually, though. Okay, so that was 14, 13, 12, 11, 10, 9, 8, 7, 6.
This one is tough to describe. It's like a fez that's black, but then coming out of the bottom of the fez as it sits on the head is like a completely circular and straight sort of...
Kind of looks like a witch's hat, like, but with mesh.
Mesh material? Yeah.
Honestly, it's pretty fly, especially with those sunglasses. Those are fire.
Yeah, and it does have a strap to stay on the head. I'm going to go that this is not Latino, it's Asian.
Because of the guy or because of the hat?
The hat kind of has like a rice hat sort of shape.
Okay.
I guess I'll say and I will say in Asia I will give it to the Vietnamese.
All right. Polly boy, this is called the Gat. G-A-T. And it is Korean. So killing it on the region still, but more or less.
Wrong peninsula.
Mm-hmm. The gat is a traditional Korean hat originally worn by men during the Joseon dynasty. It's made from horse hair with a bamboo frame and a wide semi-transparent brim. Only married and middle-class men during the late 19th century could wear a gat. It represented their social status and protected their top knots, which were known as sengtu.
So that's what all those battle rappers are talking about when they say, pull out my gat. Mm-hmm. Next up, we have 11.
All right, close your eyes. 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11. All right, this one was one where I only was able to find a small picture on Wikipedia, and it's a little bit blurry, so sorry for the potato quality.
It's a hat Poncho wears from Emperor's New Groove.
Ooh, okay, good pick, good pick. Do you remember where Cusco's from?
No. Was that empire based on, like, Peru or Argentina or Chile? I don't remember. I already guessed Peru, so I don't want to just double down on Peru, but I think it was based on Peru, right?
Am I allowed to help you?
Yeah, sure.
Do you want the name?
Yeah, what's the name?
So, in Spanish, it'd be called a gorro chilote, or just a chilote cap.
Chilote. Chill out, Cap. Okay, who's the chillest of the Latin Americans?
Oh,
from Chile. Oh, thank you, brother.
Or was that a trick? Final answer?
I'm going to go with Chile. Yeah.
All right. This is a chilote cap from Chile. It is a knitted cap, typically of the Chiloé archipelago. The caps are made from a coarse, raw wool and usually have a pom-pom. Or an acorn in Spanish, balota at the top. The designs are colorless and of the cap may vary. Oh, the designs and colors of the cap may vary, but are usually naturally colored horizontal stripes over the natural garn. So yeah, that one was a little bit hard to see clearly. So I'm willing to give you a little bit of help with that one. And first country correct.
I have 5 points now, and we are going to number three.
All right. That was two, so that's three. So you have a man in this one, too. Or someone who I assume is male-identified.
Yeah. And there's also a boat. He does seem like he's male-identifying. and there's water behind him in what looks like maybe a Greek coastline. And he kind of looks Greek. But it's like a little sailor's hat. I don't know how else to describe it. It's also kind of like a black satin material, except the visor part of it is like a vinyl or like a shiny material, plasticky. And there's a little band on it. It's just a little sailor's cap. I don't know. I'm going to go Greece. Feels Greek.
So not in Latin America. All right, Polly boy, that is a Greek fisherman's hat.
Nice.
Native to. That's just what it's called. Native to Turkey.
Oh, it's native to Turkey?
No, it's native to Greece. Yeah, you got it. I don't even have a description for that one. It's a Greek fisherman's hat. I didn't realize you'd recognize the coastline that much, or I thought maybe you'd have more familiarity with how much coastline there is in Latin America and there'd be some ambiguity, but now, yeah. You knocked that one out of the park. You should have done that. Should have been the Daily Double. We'll see which one ends up being the Daily Double.
That was three, so we got seven.
Seven, okay.
Ooh, okay. This is like Poncho's Kids from Emperor's New Groove. It's a, I mean, this has an American name. Everybody knows this type of hat, right? It has a name that people would recognize, at least cultured people unlike me.
Mm-hmm. Actually, I don't know. I don't know what the American name would be.
But it's one of those knitted hats that's like really colorful and it has the two flaps that come down around your ear and they look really warm and cozy. And I know I keep saying Peru, but every indigenous hat seems Peruvian to me.
I mean, where in Peru would you need to be warm? Where in Latin America would you need to be warm
in those mountains? Or maybe Argentina. We already had Chile, and maybe it's like, you know, you got to be warm. And it's like Argentina's got the Patagonia mountains, too.
This kid doesn't look like he has any Nazi ancestry in him.
You're right. He does look indigenous.
In that sense, he doesn't look exactly like Poncho's Kids.
Oh, you're bringing a lot of attention to what he looks like, and he kind of looks like he could be your cousin. So Guatemala, final answer.
That one was just me kind of like pontificating. It wasn't really me trying to give you advice.
Then Peru.
Do you want a bonus point?
Yes.
You can use your geography skills, but there is one other country besides Peru that this also can be attributed to. It turns out borders don't perfectly define where things are from.
Oh, Ecuador.
So this is the Chuyo from
or Bolivia.
Fine. Do you want which one do you want to do?
Bolivia.
This is the Chuyo from Peru or Bolivia.
Nice.
Woolen hats with ear flaps that have been used in the Andean mountain range since pre-Hispanic times. They are typically made from alpaca, llama, or sheep's wool and have insulating qualities and the ability to be tied under the chin. Various colors have different significance among the Andean natives, and the style has more recently been popularized around the world by snowboarders. Little culture vultures.
All right, with those extra 3 points, I'm now at 10.
It might be a 10 out of 10 in terms of function and style.
Yeah, it does look cool. Although it does, I think it would make you look younger than you are in an American context.
Oh, this kid's 65. He's been working in the mine his entire life.
What do they eat in Peru? Goddamn.
It's not a propeller hat, indeed.
It's not a propeller hat, but it is kind of making its way towards that in terms of, like, whimsy.
I mean, I would stick to, like, 3 primary colors for my decoration and then 1 little design.
That one was 7, so 5. I mean, this is both because of the person wearing... There's a... black woman in this picture, and she's wearing like a very blue,
I would say, a strong black woman.
Yeah, definitely. And her hat is very hard to describe. It's like, it's not a trifold at all, but it does have 3 points. But 2 of the points of the triangle are like in front of her forehead, and it's like flat on top. It's like a flat triangle sitting on top of her. It's like if a graduation cap had some thickness to it and was a triangle. And it's very blue in paper mache. Adrian, can you give me some, like, how does it, can you describe it? Or fabric-y, not paper, but fabric-y.
No, yeah, it looks more like felt. It's also got some decorations on it. It's got, like, a flower embroidered on it.
The way it sits on your head, because it is flat, it does remind you mostly of a graduation cap. I think that's the closest hat that we're familiar with. Because it's a black woman, it does give off African vibes to me, but I'm almost wondering if maybe this is, like, Haitian?
Wow, okay. Talk about erasure.
Is Haiti part of Latin America? It has to be, right?
I don't think so. I think that's Caribbean, or what would that be like?
You know what? I'm gonna go Brazil. I'm gonna go Latin America, and I'm gonna go Brazil.
Okay. All right. This is the Herero hat. Native to Namibia. Ah. The Herero women of Namibia have a style of dressing influenced by the wives of German colonists who first came to the country in the early 20th century. How are you doing on points? How many more do you have?
I'm still at 10, and I have... This one was 12, right? So we have 4, 15, 1, 8, 10, and 13.
Okay. I think you're going to do all right.
So we have number 4.
Number 4. Okay, close your eyes.
Okay, so this is a Panama hat. So it must be from Panama. And like, oh, wait, is this one of the trick ones? It's called a Panama hat.
I did not know. You knew the name of that? It just looks like a hat to me. I guess you know hats.
You know hats. I don't know a hat this because I'm bald. This is just like a normal hat you could get at Target with a little thing on it that says Panama hat.
I'm not shopping for hats at Target.
I just meant like it's a generic type of hat you could get anywhere. It would be labeled Panama hat. But the way you said yeah, not validating that it's called a Panama hat, but validating that it is from Panama makes me think that it's from Panama. So I'm going to say Latin American and from Panama. All
right, so this is a Panama hat. And they're from Ecuador. Bitch.
Where are they actually?
These brim hats are traditionally made from the pleated leaves of the toquila straw plant, hand woven by craftsmen in Ecuador, not Panama. These hats became nominally tied to Panama due to their massive export from Ecuador to Panama during the 19th century, which famously helped Ecuadorian national hero Eloy Alfaro finance his liberal revolution.
Damn, that's a fun piece of history. I'm glad you told me that. Yeah.
Now you can say that to all the white ladies at Target you're hanging out with.
I'm not saying I'm at Target looking for this hat. That was just a generic store that carries generic hats. Like Panama hats.
Okay.
15.
Okay, all the way to the end. Here we go.
Ooh. This is like a... like a woven straw hat that you see a guy blowing into a jug with a piece of straw in his band in like a country jamboree style band wearing. It was like blowing into a jug with three X's on it. It's like a straw hat, goes out on the sides. And this one specifically has a red, white, and blue like wrap around the brim, which I guess makes it American or French in its design choice. But I think these must, I mean, they must be Mexican or Tejano, right? Like,
I'm not going to confirm or deny that, brother.
I mean, the red, white, and blue makes me want to say America, but I think you picked that one just for the fun of it, and it's going to be a Mexican hat. And if it is Tejano, it's like from the era when it was Mexico anyway. So I'm going to say that this is a Mexican hat.
All right. How many more points do you need?
Oh, it's woven reeds, by the way. So Latin America, Mexico.
All right. This is the Chupaya, which is from a country with a red, white, and blue flag. So it is a traditional Chilean horseman's hat made of straw. Many people in rural areas of central Chile use it as well. In addition, it is often used when dancing the cueca, a Chilean folk dance, and during Chilean rodeos. Can you imagine the embarrassment of going to a rodeo, but then having to also have your first Chilean rodeo? And just being there and being like, this is my first Chilean rodeo. I have no idea what's going on. First Chilean rodeo. I've been to American rodeos. Way different. I have no idea what's going on right now.
Did these just get exported to Mexico? Why is like our pop cultural notion of them so Mexican?
They probably have something pretty analogous to it.
Number one.
Oh, okay, let's go back. Close your eyes. Go back to number one. All right.
This one is, I think it's a give me, it's a bowler hat. It looks like it's from England. I guess maybe it could be, like, secretly Scottish or Irish or something, but I'm gonna go England.
Okay. This is the bowler hat, and it is from the UK originally, but has become a major accessory in Bolivian women's cultural dress. Particularly since their introduction to South America in the 1920s. As the story goes, bowler hats were shipped to Bolivia for male railway workers, but ended up being too small. So the local tribes of women took the hats and adopted them into their dress.
You motherfucker.
So since we're celebrating Hispanic heritage, I'm going to count that as Bolivia, not the UK.
And I wouldn't dare to go against you, a proud Guatemalan man.
No points for you.
Eight. Now we only have three left, so I need to get either all of them right or at least 2 points on one and one on the other.
Okay, I think you're gonna be okay. 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Oh, yep, 8.
Ooh, okay. That's we got ourselves a Yankee. Not a Yankee fitted though, just a Yankee a New York Yankees hat. That's proud American, baby. That's proud United States of America. That's USA, number one. Yankees, number one.
Okay. So this is just a representation of a baseball cap, which is native to the USA and still mostly popularized in the USA. Yeah. So you got both right.
Okay. Got 14 points. I got to get one of the next two right. 10.
Oh, one of the next two. I think I only... Oh, number 10. Oh, okay, yeah.
We have 10 and 13.
All right. Doop, boop. I gave you two pictures on this one to give you lots of perspectives.
Oh, gosh, this one is really hard to describe. It's like a... can you help me out, Adrian?
I think it probably looks way different on someone's head than it does just, like, hanging out. But it's a lot of different colors. It kind of has, like, a very... There's not a brim. Like, it's a very, like, head-wrappy kind of feel. Maybe with a little bit more decoration and purpose and how you're supposed to, like, align things. Yeah, it looks kind of almost like a fancy decorated hood that you could put on, like, a hoodie.
I find this one really hard. I have no context for this. I want to say, like, like a Eastern European country. Maybe north of the one we had previously. So, like... at Albania, so maybe if we go north of there, we're going into, like Hungary or something, or, like, Yeah, fuck it, let's go Hungary. Oh, or maybe you pick this one because it's Polish, and you want to make Nicole happy, because, you know, the Polish lobby controls this podcast. Nah, I'll go Hungary.
Okay, which is or isn't in Latin America?
Famously not in Latin America.
Famously. Okay, this is called a blank con, and it is from Java.
Java. Oh, okay. So it's what do you call it? It's Indonesian.
It is a traditional Javanese headgear worn by men and made of batik fabric. So you made your goal, but you want to wrap it up with this last one? Get a little slam dunk, extra points? All right. Very pixelated quality. Sorry about that, but here's your little hat.
I would have also called this a Panama hat.
It's clearly different.
This is like it's like a Cuban style fedora, right? It's like a,
what's the purpose of those indentions in like the like front?
So that you can pinch it with your fingers and tip it to the lady.
Oh, okay.
Pinch it right so between it's literally your just forefinger for fingering? And your thumb.
It's just fingering holes.
No, you pinch it right between your middle finger and your thumb, and you tip it to the lady.
I don't know about that.
I'm going to go Cuba.
Okay. Which is or isn't in Latin America. Just doing the housekeeping. I'm not trying to say it isn't obvious.
I feel like this is a political statement. I think it is. It's my take.
All right. This is called a buntle hat. And it is from the Philippines.
Ooh.
It is a traditional straw hat from the Philippines, woven from fibers extracted from the petioles of buri palm leaves. It is traditionally worn by farmers working in the fields and was a major export of the Philippines in the first half of the 20th century.
Nice.
Yeah, which I think, is it broad enough to be considered Hispanic? Is that what we're doing, or are we doing Latin American? I was kind of, I kind of had it there as a trick to like be like, oh yeah, it clearly is Spanish influenced, but it's the Philippines, the other ones you forgot about.
The Philippines. That would have been such a stupid ass trick.
All right, Paul, how you feeling at the end of this?
You know, I thought that this was one of the stupidest third segments we've ever done, and it might be for the listener, but I actually really enjoyed it as an exercise in just learning about other cultures.
Yeah, that's what the whole point of the day was. And we didn't do a whole lot of it in the beginning, so I'm glad we got a little bit at the end. And like I said, we're going to put that up for everyone to see. All right, big facts, no cap?
Yeah. Yeah, let's do big facts, no cap. You know, I love learning about Hispanic heritage. And I think it's great that we're centering Hispanic heritage, but I just want to say that we should also be remembering to center Hispanic heritage.
Shit like that. My no cap is, I love Hola Papi, but I like him better as Adios Papi, because I love to watch him walk away, you know what I mean? Come on.
Catch me touring with my new band, Hispanic at the Disco. See y'all there.